everyone. Welcome to episode 138 of my 123 Cents, the podcast. I am on the road again, coming back from a Stride Pro Wrestling show. So I am recording this open on Saturday night. It was a great event. Thank you to everyone who did come out. Farmer Billy Hills challenged Roger Mathis for the Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. It was a brutal battle, but Roger Mathis is still the defending champion, and we'll have more in the coming weeks on Stride Pro Wrestling here on My 123 Cents, the podcast, as well as my123cents.com. Be sure to check that out. August 5th, by the way, the next big show for Stride, so looking forward to that. Also looking forward to today's guest, and that is Buff Bagwell, and a big fan of his from back in the day, and had the opportunity to interview him. And actually how this all came about was I had read online that he was going to be retiring. He is going to be hanging things up. As far as the in-ring career goes, he is still going to stay active in the world of professional wrestling, but not wrestling so much anymore after 2018. So we chatted, had a great conversation, and actually, and I bring the story up as we are talking too, I met Buff back in 1998 in Huntsville, Alabama, and actually have the video of that up on the YouTube channel, so I'll have the link to it here on the JitteryMonkey.com site, and you can check that out. And then I want to give you guys a heads up next week on the show. If everything goes as planned for this upcoming week, it is WWE Hall of Famer Tito Santana, Rob Fairless with the 25th Hour Radio Show, hooked Tom Harness and I up with that. So Tom and I will be interviewing Tito Santana later this week. If you have questions for the WWE Hall of Famer, the former two-time Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, as well as a two-time tag team champion in the WWE / WWF, be sure to let me know. You can weigh in on this post on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just shoot me a message and I will be sure to try to get your questions in. Our time with Tito will be limited, so if you do have a question though, I will be glad to try to get it in and have that answered as well. Of course, the big pay-per-view Great Balls of Fire is over by the time you are listening to this show. I will have thoughts and feelings up on that on the My123Cents Facebook page, as well as My123Cents.com. My prediction blog, I was hoping that Brock Lesnar would end up losing the WWE Universal Championship. I don't know that that's obviously what happened, because as I mentioned, I'm recording this on Saturday night, so we'll have to wait and see. And you know, I don't hate on Brock Lesnar, but I do think it's time to let that ship sail, so to speak. I have no problem with him still being an attraction and being on events, on Raw even. But as far as being the champion, I think I'm kind of over all that. But you can read more about that at my123cents.com. Other news this past week in the world of professional wrestling, Austin Aries released by WWE. A big surprise. I was not expecting that at all. And as of this recording, there hasn't been a whole lot of other explanation as to what happened. There was some talk tonight in the locker room at the Stride show that, you know, maybe it was just a case of there's not a lot of guys that mesh with Austin's style, and perhaps he's better suited to go back to or go to a Lucha Underground or a Ring of Honor type of environment. So certainly wish him the best of luck. And, you know, maybe he's a victim of King Neville, my guy there. So I say that tongue in cheek, but I really do hope that Austin continues to find success. I'm sure that he will be just fine in terms of finding other wrestling matches and other gigs. As far as that is concerned, I'm trying to think, and I'm going off the top of my head here as I am making my way back home. I don't think there's much else of anything to discuss in terms of wrestling news from the past week or so, but as always, I want to hear from you. Let's talk, let's chat. You can find me, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There's my 123 Cents accounts on all of those platforms, as well as my personal stuff. So be sure to reach out. Let me know what you think of the show. what types of guests you'd like to have or like to hear from, or formatting wise. And I'm toying around with some different ideas and actually talking to some different folks too about changing things up and making some hopefully changes for the better for not just my 123 cents the podcast, but also the blog. And you know, once again, another week has gone by and I haven't touched the YouTube channel, so I am going to be working on that as well, I promise. But all these things kind of take a little time and a little effort, and I'm working on it, I promise. So thanks again for being a part of the experience here. Now stay tuned for Buff Bagwell.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 123 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, as promised, the guest today, legendary superstar of the wrestling world, Buff Bagwell. And earlier this year, and actually this is kind of Buff how I found out about this, was an article where you've announced that you're going to be hanging it up here at the start of 2018, it looks like. So tell me a little bit about how you decided to reach this decision to retire from in-ring action.
It's 100% physical. It is, I'm just not capable. I had gone in the last 20 months, I've gone through a total, they call it, this is the medical term they use. I went through a shoulder replacement of my right shoulder, and then I did a left hip replacement, and I did both those inside 20 months.
Wow.
Both doctors said they were, these doctors didn't even know each other. They both said that each, like the shoulder and the hip, they both told me later on, they go, man, your hip was about 81 years old of age. And the guy with my shoulder told me, he goes, man, your shoulder was like an 81-year-old guy's shoulder. So
wow.
That's what we've done to ourselves over these years through supplements, training. I mean, there's a million things to blame it on, and nobody, let me say that twice, nobody knows the answer. But we beat ourselves up, and there's price to pay, so it becomes senseless. If it was mental, I love it. I love the business. I want to be there. And I'm still going to be part of it. I'm still going to be involved. And actually, believe it or not, what we're doing in this first year is we're going to tag team. I want to be in tag match as much as I can, so I can give them more. Mm-hmm. I can give them more as the company if they let me do a tag match with them. You know, Buff Bagwell could be more creative and charismatic. I enjoy tags.
Yeah.
Because this is fun. You got more people to adjust a joke with, and you pull a Buff Bagwell tag match up, and you pull a Buff Bagwell single match up, and you're going to enjoy the tag match better.
So,
you just are. I'm just more entertaining.
Let me ask you about that, because some of our listeners did ask about your tag team history, and you do have a rich history of tag team wrestling. In WCW, and you and I, you're a couple years older than me, so I've been following you since the early days as the Handsome Stranger.
Wow, you actually got a great ride then. You got the Handsome Stranger. Did you get Fabian or not?
I remember reading about Fabian in the aftermags, but
you actually saw the word Fabian, though.
Yeah.
You're old enough to at least know the word.
Yes, and we actually, and
wow.
I know, and I don't expect you to remember this at all, but I'm also a TV reporter and news anchor. So back in 1998, when I was just getting into the business, WCW was doing a Thunder in Huntsville, Alabama, and it was about an hour's drive, but they set it up, and I got to interview four guys.
You asked me to do an interview, and I said yes.
Yes, you were there, and you.
Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah, you cracked me up. You ripped your shirt off at the end, and you know, It was fun, and I've actually Great. Shared that picture to promote this interview.
I kind of vaguely remember that because Huntsville, we did a lot, but not a lot happened there. But I do remember that happening because Huntsville was a great wrestling town. My God, Huntsville Civic Center, whatever it was called, auditorium. Yeah. My God, that has seen everything in the world: Nitro, Raw, Thunders. I mean, it's a great building. You know, TNA. I mean, my God. So yeah, I do vaguely remember, you know, having a good, you know, interview there with.
Well, yeah, I feel like we've kind of, I've been around the loop, not with you, but, you know, as a fan watching you.
Sure.
And through all this tag team.
For sure.
Yeah, and this tag team situation that you've been through with several partners, did you have a particular partner or, you know, I always liked your stuff better once you became Buff, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, but who did you like teaming up with?
I get asked that a lot, dude, and to be honest with you, it's really, and this is not like even trying to be nice. I really, really, honest to God, it's a tie, and that sounds corny, and it can. People can say they don't believe me, and they can, but I'm still best friends with Dale Wilkes. We had a great run, and I put myself back in the time. That's the first time I ever won the belt was with Dale, so that means a lot. I won it twice with Dale, and then I went to Riggs, which of course was a bigger deal because we were bigger, WCW was bigger, and we do this cool video, and $60,000 video, and the American Males are, and then we're tag team champs, and we're champs too, and we were the same age, so we partied together, and, you know, so they all, I can keep going down the line, but they really just, it can become just great friends, and you got to switch on and move on. And the only thing, to be honest with you, that doesn't get spoke about that means a lot to me is it shows what good of a worker I am.
Mm-hmm.
I had to adjust to that. They are phenomenal workers. They're my best. They're all still really good friends of mine. But I... Dale Wills don't wrestle like the Patriot, and I don't wrestle like Scorpio, and Scorpio don't wrestle like Scotty Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to adjust to each character appropriately, and I think I did a really good job because I was shorter and I was a little man, and I got no problem being the little man. Little man rolls over, tags Norton. Little man runs over, tags Steiner. Little man rolls over, tags, Patriot. I love that. I like being the little guy fighting back, and, you know, that's what I am. I'm the little firefly, you know?
So did there have to be some kind of chemistry before these tag teams were formed? Because a lot of these, like you said, you were kind of the guy going from team to team, and I think that I'm a big fan of tag team wrestling.
I can cut you off and answer your question real quick. Scorpio and me came from Big Van Vader at Center Stage. I had a great match with Benoit, and they said, why don't you put him and Scorpio together? So Big Van Vader put us together. Scorpio got fired, and they put me and the company, put me and Dale Wilkes together and called us Stars and Stripes. And they hired Jim Duggan, which confused me. I'm a huge Jim Duggan fan, of course, and I'm a huge fan, friends with him. But as a company, I didn't understand. There's only one USA chant. Well, in our company, if you went to a house show, you heard the USA chant twice. So we were on the same card. We both were getting pushed. We're the tag teams of the champs of the world. He's Jim Duggan, God-renowned, and the crowd's going to chant USA. So anyway, you have the USA with him, and it was just so much talent in there, which was what made it so good to me. It just really was. I learned so much.
Yeah, it really exploded, and then you know the NWO changed everything. And heated up Monday nights, and you know I was that fan flipping back and forth, and you know obviously long before DVR or anything like that. So.
Sure.
What was the
having to make sure you turn it on 801?
Yeah,
you missed a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'd be pissed off.
You're exactly right. So what happened?
I know. I remember. I was one of the wrestlers, dude. And if it was 1001, we got mad at ourselves. We went in a bar, hanging out with the band, for starters, just listen to that statement. That's actually something you dream of. You're in the bar, and you're hanging out with wrestling fans, drinking a beer, and you're watching your live performance you just did 2 hours ago. That's a rush, bro. That is beyond belief rush. So we tried to get to the hotel because everybody knew we stayed in Maryland, in Baltimore, excuse me, and Marriott was in Maryland. Everybody knew that was a big town for me. Everybody knew that Marriott was a big deal for us, and that was a really good night for me because the crowd turns out so good there. But it was a huge party. We had a good match at the arena, and Baltimore Arena, it's just, you know, so sacred. And it was just a lot of fun, dude. I lived a really, really, really magical, fun life. I really did.
Yeah, and you were that, pardon the phrase, that white meat baby face for those early years, and then going NWO and turning your back on the fans. But you seemed to embrace that character. And when I met you that night, I mean, I could tell that was, you know, you were playing that role to the hilt. So was that hard for you to do that, or did you enjoy it?
No, it was pretty natural. Let me tell you why. I am Buff Bagwell. I am a super, super nice guy. My heart is as big as you know, just like the guy you met. But honest to God, man, all wrestlers are just their cells turned up. And it's just scoring how far the volume will go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the idea is. Ric Flair's just like that, except he's turned up on TV. And DDP is really DDP in life, but he just turns himself up to make it a bang. You know, and that's kind of what we all do. But I feel very comfortable with it because that is how I would act if I was an a-hole. If I was really a butthole and really a bad guy, that's exactly how I would act. I'd walk in places when I was 25, 20 years ago. I'd walk around my shirt off everywhere I went, bro. I really did. I didn't put my shirt on. So I, of course, put my shirt on, did the right thing, and abided the rules, and yes, sir, no, sir, because that's Mark Bagwell. But if I wanted to be Buff, that's what he would be. He would do whatever he wanted, park his bike wherever he wanted, parking it here, call the cops, I don't care, I'll sign him an autograph. You know, just make it, exaggerate it, but it ain't really more of an exaggeration. I've lived a pretty crazy life, dude, and having them both together is pretty fun.
Tell me a little bit more about your crazy life, because you're one of the very few wrestlers who have worked an angle with your mother, your real-life mother. I know that they brought in...
How bizarre is that? Wow, right?
So how did that come about? I mean, I'm assuming Mom was a fan at some point, too.
That was 100% how the Judy Bagwell spot came about was Rick and my mom some help for Rick. Yes, he has a bunch of rental properties at the time. He's still in real estate. But at the time, she was helping him do some things, clean some houses, get a cleaning crew together. I can't remember what she was doing, but that's what she does. She has a commercial cleaning service. And she does car wash, things like that. And it's a really good business because she's 75. I mean, she can just point fingers and be the boss. So it works out good. But anyway, she was doing something like that. And Rick came to me and goes, what if we just had turned heel? I was skinny as a rail. That's why I went to the overalls and the t-shirt. And then, so I went t-shirt overalls because I lost 40 pounds, bro.
Wow.
So I had to cover it up. I had to come up with an idea. And I came up with a good one, but it still, it worked. You know, I covered myself up, did all that. And then Scotty, of course, gets freaky shredded and freaky lean at the exact same time. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So, no. I think I'm back. Erase that. I get skinny. Keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, but I turn the heel. Rick comes to me and says, look, what if we involve your mom and have her come out and school you in the same town you broke your neck in? And Scotty was dead against it. Scotty didn't want women. There was no women in wrestling back then.
Mm-hmm.
The time we're talking about, there was no women in wrestling.
Yeah.
Only a few managers, maybe.
Yeah.
They're just was it with women around at all during this period. And Scotty didn't like it. If you were a woman, you should not be in the ring with a man. If you are, you grab me, I'm going to break your arm. And I told Mother, I said, Mom, don't touch Scotty. Or he'll hurt you. And my mom is kind of a badass. And, I mean, she really is. She raised three boys. She ran a lumber company for 17 years with 200 men employees. This ain't her first rodeo, you know?
Yeah.
So, so during that first time she came out in Columbia, we did that because that's where I broke my neck. So here I am, Columbia, and they turned me heel, which was completely wrong, and we needed a 2-hour podcast for that. But they turned me heel when they could have turned me the biggest baby face in the entire history of time. I broke my neck, bro.
Right.
On live TV, and we do nothing to tell the story. There's no camera at the hospital. Triple H tore his quad, and you would have thought he was quadriplegic. I mean, that's how they could have done the same thing. But I even called Eric, and I said, Eric, please, get a camera up here. This is before reality TV. Reality TV hasn't taken off yet.
Sure.
And we were kind of the beginning of that. And he said, no, that's bad karma. I said, you're out of your mind. Let's do this. He was just dead against it, man. All the way dead against it, too. There's an action figure with me in a wheelchair somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Right now, if you go on eBay, there's an action figure that comes with me in a wheelchair in the package.
Wow.
And the wheel fall off when he goes down the hill. So that's how popular it was, but they made a freaking action figure. I just signed one just the other day.
Oh, my God.
So, but we were not allowed to ever do it again, ever on TV. The U.S. Association of Wheelchairs were trying to sue us. And so even though it was funny, we were doing all the little air of those skits, and we were doing it about me. But they took it, that's still not right, you can't do that, you're making fun of the public. And we could have argued or just quit, but we quit. Back to Columbia, that was Rick's idea, he picks Mom. She ironically gets nervous. Not ironically is a bad word. Not ready for it, she gets nervous. Here's a woman that's, like I told you, I gave you a resume. She's with it.
Yeah.
But she's nervous. And I go, oh, my God, you're nervous. Whoa. Come on, baby. She goes, I don't know. I can do this. I can't. I'm not sure I can do this. I struggle. Now comes up over the side. I give her a pep talk. You know, come on, man. Kick out, man. I give her like a bag. Well, you know, come on, kick out. Shoot. You know, come on, man. And we get in the ring. Can I cuss on this program or not?
You go right ahead.
Okay. So we get in the ring, and I said, we started talking. She wasn't supposed to get in the ring. So here she comes out, and I'm dogging everybody. I'm the one that I'm getting a pinch to eat, of course, because I broke my neck there 6 months ago. You know, 4 to 5, 6 months ago, I broke my neck, and I'm back in the city dogging them out. It's instant heat, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, I could have been paraded out with cheers, but they went the boo route. So, that's like I said, that's another podcast. So, another interview. So, we come out, she comes out, and in that time, I see she's nervous. So, I said, I knew what I was going to do. I was going to say something I knew would make her mad. And we went back and forth, and she was on the outside of the road. So, I said, let me tell you something, old lady. I said, without me, you couldn't even eat. And two things to that story. It was true at the time. And she came through the ropes.
Oh, wow.
She said, I mean, I was like, but you know what I said? Yeah, I got her. I got her. She came in that ring. She goes, let me tell you something, you little smart ass. She goes, let me tell you, you don't talk to your mama like that. And buddy, she got a great pro. Hogan was in the back clapping for her when she came to the back, dude. I mean, it was a lot of people clapping. That was the first time on television ever. And as a 65-year-old woman doing it, 60-year-old woman doing it, that's a pretty big deal, you know?
That's amazing.
She got diamond cut it, and she was just a trooper, and I finally get her contract for her. And she just couldn't decide it.
Oh, wow.
Instantly wrote out of the storyline. That's why I poured Judy on the fourth back and took baths. And they pulled that thing and it was over because just she got appendicitis, and we had to write out the storyline.
Man.
So her appendix, this is the honest to God truth, and nobody's got to believe me that's listening, but her appendix burst on the Atlanta Delta flight as we were descending on me handshaking a contract of $250,000 a year for my mother.
Oh, man.
Just easy money, sit back, show up, do DC visas, every working once a week. She's only 250 grand a year. Working once or twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, just come out and be a mom. You know, be a smart ass mom.
Yeah.
And I handshook on the deal. We land. And from there, it was a wheelchair straight outside. And, you know, first it was, I don't feel good on the flight and all that. And mm-hmm. then it was, you know, wheelchair and then outside and dead straight to the hospital and her appendix had burst.
Wow.
So we did the story live and we beat her up and that was it. It was gone.
Wow.
It's, it's tough, buddy. it's a toughie.
Well, I just listened to a recent interview with you and you had talked about taking on the buff moniker and how Arn Anderson kind of warned you against that. Tell me that story if you don't mind.
To me, it's a plus, Arn said it. But he's right. He is 1,000,000% correct. What he was trying to tell me in a cool way, and I was just too young, and Arn's very cool. He's one of the coolest dudes that I've ever met. So, for starters, go that route. So here comes the coolest guy you've ever met. You're a rookie. Here comes Arn. Hey, man, what's going on? You're shaking hands and stuff. Hello. And I meet the stage, and Big Matanis always joke about that. He goes, there's Buff over there dancing. They call me Furlan because I look like this country singer named Furlan Husky. And if you look it up, Furlan Husky's a real person, and that person, he thinks I look like. That's when I had my hair real high. And so he always called me Furlan. If you ask Arn Anderson to this day what he called Buff Bagwell as a joke, he would say Furlan Husky. So I thought he meant like a yearling, like a deer, like a Furlan or a yearling.
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought. So I tell my dad about it, and my dad goes, you stupid idiot. They're talking about Furlan Husky. I go, who's Furlan Husky? You know, so. Long story short, back to that. So Arn comes out and you know, super, super respect. And he goes, hey, and one day he also did this out of nowhere. Nobody's even around. He goes, man, you're going to real serious face. And he goes, you're going to really regret that day one day. And you know, for some reason, all of a sudden, there's nobody was around. And I was like, well, why do you say that? He goes, man, just trust me. Trust me, he goes, he didn't take time to explain it. I'm 25 years old on top of the world, dude. I'm making $500,000 a year, and I'm Buff Bagwell. I mean, there ain't many other good places to be than right there, bro.
Right.
A good spot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're on the right road, I promise. So I was like, well, what do you mean? Arn, tell me. I mean, teach me. And he goes, just trust me. And he really wouldn't tell me. So, literally, I didn't think another thing about it until about 15 years later. I was in the, I think exactly when, 17 years later. I had a car wreck at 42.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, I had a real bad car wreck. After that car wreck, I remember it wasn't coming back. For starters, I gave up. I was in depression. I'd never been depressed, but I was really depressed. I was down. This is the hardest thing. I looked in the mirror. I said, I can't fix it this time. I can't fix. I mean, let's talk in third party for a second. I can't fix Buff this time. I really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall one too many times. You know, it's just, I can't put anybody together this time. And he goes, you can? I said, no, I can't. There's no way. And so somehow or another, I, through God and through this guy, this dentist, biblical dentist, that's a good friend of mine named Dad Baird, one of the nicest guys in the world. He took me, came over here, put my shoes on for me, and we started training in his basement and getting it going, you know, a little bit. And, I mean, I'm 30 pounds, 40 pounds light, dude. I'm miserable, dude. It's just crazy. And stuck with it and finally got it back, you know, to where everything was going good again, you know. And But it was just another hill to climb for both of them, which leads us to this interview of, being Buff Bagwell. And that's what leads me to Arn's thing. It's him saying it's hard to stay that way, what he was trying to tell me.
Yeah. And, you know,
when you wake up at 40, brother, and you try to be Buff, that's a whole other ball game. And I didn't know that. You know what? Nobody can know that at 25. You gotta learn it. He told me at 25, I didn't get it. And even if he would have broke it down and explained to me that I'd be sitting here worried about a hip replacement, a shoulder replacement, I think, oh, you're funny. I said, you're kind of wasting my time. This is crazy, dude. I'm Buff Bagwell. I wasn't cocky at all. I just was real. I mean, look at me. I'm in perfect shape. I take care of myself. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't party. I party a little bit, but nothing crazy. I take care. I keep up my liver counts and do my physicals. The whole nine yards. I say, oh, man, you're crazy, you know? Well, brother, he was wrong, brother. 28 years is a lot of time, and that's what's happened. And going out and having a match is one thing. Going out and looking like Buff is another.
Yeah.
I don't want to not go. I don't want to go out there and not look like Buff.
That makes sense.
I want to look like Buff. If I can't look like Buff, then it's not good for me. It's not good for the fans. It'd be like Joe Montana going out with a zero-win season and looking horrible. You just don't want to do that. You want to try to go out at the right time. But I really, honestly, the way my hip and shoulder feel, I don't think I got much more than a year left. Mm-hmm. And like I said, with that year, I want to make it clear, we're doing the, I'm still totally involved in appearances and signings, and I'm even doing tag matches. If God will do tag matches for me, we're doing tag matches. So I'll get it. I ain't one of those guys that won't get on the apron and I'm not putting my tights on. I'll get in the ring at a match. But I got to do a tag match. It's just got to be one of those kind of things because of my leg. I can't get enough out of, what they want and entertain the crowd enough. But the fans, Marcus Buff Bagwell on Instagram, Marcus Bagwell on Facebook, and my Twitter is Mark Buff Bagwell. The letters didn't fit for some reason. So that's just a little bit confusing. But it's Mark. Actually, it's not. It's Mark. Marcus Buff Bagwell. So that works.
Easy enough. We'll have it all in our write-up here on the website as well. Marcus Buff Bagwell, thank you so much for being a part of my 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast.
Had a blast. Let's do it again, and really enjoyed talking to you.
Absolutely. Thanks again. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.